Come to Jesus and live. That's the whole point. That's the whole point of all this. That's the whole point why we gather on Sunday mornings. That's the whole point why we go to this book. That's the whole point why we pray, is we're trying to understand and know Jesus, because through Him is eternal life. That's the whole point. Whole point of everything we do in Christianity is to get to know Jesus. And that series I've been on about trying to find this circle of blessing with God is all about getting to know Jesus. Because once you know Jesus, you're in the circle of blessing. And then we find that sometimes it's very difficult, though, to find God's peace in a circle of blessing because of circumstances. So what I wanted to do today to kind of complete this circle of messages I've been giving is to tell you a little bit why that happens. And it always has to do with spiritual blindness. It always has to do is we forget who Jesus really is and what He means to us. So if we could put up our first slide, some of you are going to say, boy, am I tired of seeing that. But I'm going to do this because it's so important. That's why I'm reviewing. If you go to school, the teacher reviews things, says, I want to hammer this home. That you are never outside of God's circle of love, no matter how far you've strayed. But it is possible to be outside of His circle of blessing. And most of us find part of our life outside of God's circle of blessing. We struggle. We're sad. We have broken hearts. We have misery. We lose our peace. Why does that happen? I'm going to return to a parable that I've been using. It's a parable of the prodigal son. Just the interesting thing about all these stories in the Bible is they're like an onion. You peel them back, the story goes deeper and deeper and deeper. And the understanding, the closer you get to Jesus, the more meaning He will give to every story in this book. I've been on this mantra, read your Bible daily. Just believe me, trust me, start reading your Bible daily and see how God will begin shedding these the onion skins that keep going deeper and deeper and deeper until you're coming closer and closer and closer to the center of that target. And the center of that target is to be in God's perfect will. And what I've told you is there's only been three people I know been in God's perfect will, in the God's complete circle of blessing, and that was Adam and Eve before they had their fall, and of course Jesus. The rest of us are on this journey to try to get there. But there are so many things that derail us. Doesn't matter if you're a pastor. Doesn't matter if you're a Sunday school teacher. Doesn't matter if you're reading your Bible every day. You can get derailed and find yourself in a turmoil state and where your heart's broken. And how will I get through this? Will this ever go away? So before we put up the next slide, Lane, I'm going to read something here. The whole story about the prodigal son, it's about grace. It's about you are never outside of God's circle of love. And it's also shows us how much God loves us is because He honors the gift of free will He's given all of us. We have free will to turn our back on God. We have free will to walk away from God. We have free will to mope in our misery no matter what's taking place in our life. But God still loves us and has grace towards us. It's just that we decide when we get out of God's circle of blessing. He knows, God knows, that maybe if we misuse the freedom He's given us, that we will learn a lesson and continue to strive to be close to Him. This is near the end of the prodigal son. It says, the son has gone away. He squandered all his inheritance, one-third of his father's estate. The father gave it to him. He says, sure, go ahead. It says, in sinful living. And if you read this story, obviously you know he ran out of all his funds and ends up working on this pig farm. And he's starving to death. And finally, his senses start coming to him. And he says, when he came to himself, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have bread enough to spare, and yet I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father and will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. He's decided it's time to repent. We all need to repent. And he says, I'm no longer to be called your son. That's what I'm going to tell my dad. He's going to tell him, just make me like one of your hired servants. Let's put up the next slide. That's where we'll come in. And it says, and he arose and came to his father. But when he was still a great way off, love that part of this. Next one. Nope, that's all right. Take that down. They're out of order. That's okay. And he arose and he came to his father. But when yet he was a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion. And he ran and fell on his neck and kissed his son who had disobeyed all his rules. And the son said to him, Father, I have sinned. Here we go. He's repenting now, directly to the father. I've sinned against heaven and I've sinned in your sight. And no longer am I worthy to be called your son. Repentance. But the father said to the servants, bring out the best robe and put it on him. The robe of righteousness. The father took the robe. It's a symbolic way of saying, look, I know you're a sinful son. I know you've done all these things wrong, but let me put my best robe on you, the robe of righteousness, and cover up all the sinful living that you've done. You're still welcome here. And let me put a ring on your finger, a token of belonging to the family. There were signature rings and there were family rings specifically designed for certain families. And the father runs out and gives him this expensive ring, clothes him in the robe of righteousness. Says, you're still part of, you've always been part of this family. Put sandals on his feet and then bring a fatted calf in here and kill it and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and now is found. And they began to be merry. The son had re-entered the father's circle of blessing. He was outside of the blessing, but he was still always had his father's love. Now imagine this scenario. We're talking about why is it sometimes we get so stuck and we just can't find that peace? Why is it so hard? And I think this answers that question to some degree. It's because sometimes we pray the blessings that we think we need to find the peace. Imagine the prodigal son showing up and repenting to his father, and his father runs out with the robe and the ring, and the son is not grateful for that. He's going, that's not what I wanted. I wanted my own house, my penthouse built. I needed a new car in the garage. I need all my friends to be here and a swimming pool in the backyard. What is this? And the son would have remained outside the circle of blessing. It was his own choice, because many times we pray and we tell God what we think our blessing should be. Now that's not what the prodigal son did. He accepted the blessing. But sometimes the blessing comes in disguise and it's not exactly what we've prayed for. Oh, I pray for perfect health. I pray for my financial situation to change. I pray for this. And God is going to answer your prayers, but it may not be in the way that you are praying. And therefore, you can remain miserable and outside of God's circle of blessing, not because God isn't blessing you, but because you don't recognize it because of what? Spiritual blindness. Spiritual blindness. That's what keeps us outside of God's blessing. We are spiritually blind. The Pharisees had Jesus Christ, the man they had studied these scriptures over and over and over, and who were waiting for him, but he showed up in a different form. Their expectation, their prayer, their truth was, when Jesus comes, when the Messiah comes, he will come like an army. With rebellion, he will wipe out the Romans and the Roman rule. He will be a conqueror. He will be a king. He will have beautiful clothes on and gold robes and rings and an army of angels with him. And instead, he comes as this little child, poor, dressed poor, hanging out with sinners and teaching in a way that went against the Pharisees' truth. We are all Pharisees because we think we know what we have to be happy because of spiritual blindness. Jesus standing right face to face to the very men who knew these scriptures upside down and backwards, but they could not recognize the Messiah talking to them. They didn't know who he was. Spiritual blindness. They would not allow God to open their hearts and open their minds to the truth that was spoken here. There's another character in the story that's very fascinating that rarely gets spoken about, and that is the prodigal son brother. It says, now his older son was in the field, and as he came and drew near to the house, he heard music and dancing. The older brother was out working, and he hears this party going on. So he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said to him, well, your brother has come home. Because he has received him safe and sound, your father has killed the fatted calf, and we're having this big bash in the backyard. But this older son was angry and would not join in. And therefore his father came out and he pleaded with him. Here's the father, God the Father, saying, look at the joy, look at the merriment, what's going on? And this older son, who was also what, spiritually blind, said, I'm not going in. And he answered him, said to his father, look, all these years I've been serving you. I've never transgressed your commandment at any time. And yet you never gave me a young goat that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this son of yours, who has devoured your livelihood, has taken his inheritance and spent it on harlots, you bring him back in, you surround him with all these gifts, you kill the fatted calf and throw this big party. And he said to him, son, you are always with me, and all that I have is yours. It was right that we should make merry and be glad for your brother, because your brother was dead and now he's alive again and was lost and now he was found. We are also that brother. All of us are that brother. Why? Spiritually blind. That reminds me of people who spend their whole life in church. Their whole life in church. And yet they live in misery. There's no peace. There's no joy. Because they are spiritually blind. They don't realize what Jesus has for them. The joy that Jesus has for them. That is why. You'll see over and over in my book, read your Bible daily. Ask God to open your eyes. I want to tell you before I continue on here about now, those of you that read my blog, I sent one out late yesterday. I made a call to a young man that I wanted you all to meet. He texted me last night at 11 o'clock. He's very ill. The young man I'm talking to you about is Trevor Rollo. He's been on our prayer list. He just had brain surgery. He doesn't even know if the brain tumor that they've removed from his brain is malignant yet. It's still in pathology. But he wanted to come and speak to you. And I'll tell you why. Trevor was in the Bible study here that Lydia Bertels did a couple years ago. And I got to know him and I watched him. And he led this Bible study group. He has the joy of the Lord in his life. Trevor has been through so much misery in his life. You can't even imagine. And I'm not going to say it here because I don't know what all he wants me to say. But trust me, he has been walking a hard path for a long time. If anyone could be bitter and find themselves outside the circle of God, it would be Trevor. And yet, I got this picture of Trevor going into surgery a little over a week ago with the biggest smile on his face, giving it the thumbs up. He's on the gurney going in for brain surgery on this brain stem. And you know what he said? He told Lydia this. He said, all I want to do is glorify God with whatever this happens. I want to glorify God. That's how he lives his life. So many of us in that circumstance would be, oh God, why? Here's Trevor with a smile on his face, say, as long as I can glorify God. Trevor's what, 24 years old? He wants to glorify God. This young man, he's like, look, I've turned it, I know Jesus. Come to Jesus and live. It's not about what happens here. I want to make sure I'm glorifying God. He's going to come. He just couldn't go. He's coming off all these drugs he's been on for pain and everything else. He was trying to make it here today. I think there's a basic question all of us must ask ourselves as Christians. And that is, what am I willing to give up and change so that I may enter God's circle of blessing? And it has to do with surrender. We, just like the prodigal son, have been given freedom of choice. God is not going to stop us from choosing to leave his circle of blessing. He's not going to stop us. But the lesson in all this is, it has, his circle of blessing does not necessarily have anything to do with your circumstances. His circle of blessing has to do with God's Spirit and Jesus being so real to you that you can face anything with joy in your heart and become a renewed person. There's a book in the Old Testament, Jonah. Jonah and the whale. Here's another guy, free choice. God spoke directly to him. This happens to all of us. You know when God's speaking to you. Don't do that. Don't get involved in this. Don't go down this road. It's a gentle voice. You know it's there. I know it's there. I've ignored it plenty of times in my life. Don't do this. Why are you doing this? It's Jesus, the love of Jesus speaking to your heart, and yet we disobey. Jonah, you know that story. He's told to go to Nineveh to preach. What's he do? He goes the opposite direction. I know all about that. I call myself a Jonah. I knew in eighth grade I was supposed to be a preacher. Didn't become a preacher until I was in my 50s. Why? I was a Jonah. I don't want to do that. That's not cool. That's not fun. What's that going to get me? What is that going to get me? Here's Jonah's plea. Out of the belly of Sheol I cried, and you heard my voice. For you cast me into the deep, into the heart of the seas, and the floods surrounded me. All your billows and your waves passed over me. And then I said, I have been cast out of your sight. He's been cast out of the circle of blessing. Yet I will look again towards your holy temple. The waters surrounded me, even to my soul. That this deep, it closed in around me. Weeds were wrapped around my head. I went down to the moorings of the mountains. The earth with its bars closed behind me forever. That's how some of us feel. How will I ever get out of this? I've been taken deep. I'm sorrowful. I'm broken. Yet you have brought up the life from the pit. Oh Lord, my God, when my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord and my prayer went up to you, into your holy temple. And those who regard worthless idols forsake their own mercy, but I will sacrifice to you. With the voices of thanksgiving, I will pay what I have vowed. Salvation is in the Lord. Amen. God wants you to be within his circle of blessing. It's up to us. It's up to us. Jackie and I are going to invite everyone to come to the table of grace. Maybe, should we go that way with it, maybe? This is a time of repentance, a time to come to God, a time that we can say, look, God, I messed up. I am the prodigal son. I'm the prodigal son's brother. I am Jonah. We all are. That's the beauty of this religion that we have called Christianity. There's nothing like it in the world. Peace, The peace of God can be found today in your life. Repent your sins and come to the table of grace. Come to Jesus and live.
Let us pray. Gracious God, we give you thanks that you have prepared a heavenly meal for us, a heavenly banquet in sending your own true Son to give his life. And we remember that meal so long ago in which he sat around the table, encouraging peace and joy for those who were following him at that time because of the way in which he loved them and gave his life for them. We celebrate today because Jesus loves us too, and he's given his life for us. We ask that you bless the breaking of this bread and the drinking of this cup by the presence of your Holy Spirit, and bless those who are gathered here this day, that we might be strengthened by your holy food and go and share with others. In Jesus' name.